The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The hit action thriller with such exciting nail-biting scenes as two guys typing on a computer, a guy recording some stuff, and a guy yelling at an old man in an office.
The Tom Clancy movie that finally gave us a well-rounded female character in Harrison Ford's wife, who is there when he gets the assignment, then hugs him when his friend gets sick, hugs him at his friend's funeral, and at the end, you know, like, looks at him from far away when he's in trial and stuff. You know, a very well-written female character.
The third Tom Clancy movie, bringing back James Earl Jones, the one consistent. Good old James Earl Jones, you can always count on him, he'll be around. Good old James Earl Jones, nothing's ever going to happen to him. He's our one rock, our consistent guy through all of these movies from beginning to end. Good old James Earl Jones.
I got some news for you. This is Clear and Present Danger on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, Blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And today, we're coming back at you with another Tom Clancy thriller.
Yeah, back-to-back Jack Ryans on this thing.
Back-to-back JRs.
Yeah.
Back-to-back TCs.
Yep.
And not Tom Cruise, who we usually talk about.
Yeah.
I feel Clancy.
Like eventually we're going to get it to a back-to-back Tom Cruise.
Yeah, oh, probably, yeah.
But no,
talking about Splinter Cell himself. We're talking about Rainbow Six.
Before the video game, yeah. Tom Clancy was a guy who wrote books that they turned into movies.
Yep.
And they turned them into movies like 5 years after the books came out. So when the books came out, they're very much like in depth in like the current political state. And then when the movies came out, they were like, oh yeah, that shit happened like 6 years ago.
Yep.
That's true here, and that's true in Hunt for Red October.
For sure.
1994, this movie made $122,187,000. It was part two, well not part two, but the follow-up to Patriot Games.
Right.
Who does not make the list.
Does that not make the list. So weirdly, we go from the first Jack Ryan movie to the third Jack Ryan movie. Jack Ryan movie number two?
Yeah. Hunt for Red October. Yeah. Yeah, no, Patriot Games is not there. And
I mean, it was successful.
It was a success, but not successful enough.
Yeah.
People really liked the idea of, I don't know, president shit, I guess.
I don't know.
Probably the Cuban, the Colombian
stuff. The Colombian thing, stuff. Maybe. Or maybe, I don't know if people were thrown, like, Patriot Games. They're like, what is this? That's not Alec Baldwin. I'm sure that wasn't the problem, but.
Yeah, people were like, who's this Harrison Ford fella?
Yeah, who's this Ford? Who's this incredibly handsome,
I want more Beetlejuice
charismatic
guy.
Leading man?
I'm tired of this this Ford fella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His name is a car. Is it got a car name?
Yeah.
Is he a car?
Harrison's not a normal first name.
True.
That's weird. I want Alec. That's
yeah, Alec with a C.
With a C, not an X.
Not an X, like normal people.
Yeah,
well, that's true. Jack Ryan's only played by people with weird. Well, who else has played him? What's John Krasinski?
Yeah,
John's a regular name.
John's
I guess.
A very regular.
John's
name.
John's almost the most regular name.
Yeah, actually, other than Jack.
Yeah,
as in Jack Ryan. Apparently, too, Keanu was supposed to play him in another movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That would have been...
Looking at trivia, which is always
really
true,
weird.
There was another movie, but actually, I think it was a Willem, like a Clark.
Was he going to play Jack Ryan, though?
But yeah, Keanu Reeves is going to be Jack Ryan in it. And
weird.
Then they paid like $3 million for the rights to that movie, and they never made it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess eventually they made it with MBJ, Michael B. Jordan, made a Clark movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. What was the terrible one with that?
Some of All Fears.
Oh, God, it's awful.
It's a bad movie.
Yeah.
It's a bad movie, and it's made worse by the fact that halfway through filming, 9/11 happened, and they're like, we can't make Arabs the bad guys anymore.
Yeah, we're going to have to pivot, I guess?
Yeah, like, so it's just a guy now, I guess, even though everything in the movie is about Arabs.
Yeah.
And it's like bad. Islamic terrorists, which was a real thing, obviously, because 9/11 happened.
9/11 happened, exactly. Like, we were worried about that shit.
And that was the whole, like, Tom Clancy thing, was taking actual real world stuff and talking about it. And they're like, we don't want to be that real, though.
Real world war stuff and political stuff. But I get it, you know. I mean, I think maybe the way to go, I mean, you can't tell that to somebody putting in a bunch of money into it, but it's like, let's finish the movie as it is and then sit on it for 6 years.
That's true.
Yeah. And then we'll release it. And by then, people will be like, oh, yeah, this is fine. Yep. You know?
Although, I mean, yes, you're right about that. But also, if you saw the movie American Assassin, which is also a movie that nominally is about Islamic terrorism, again, a real thing and a real problem in the world, they're like, but let's have the bad guy be an American, like, service member.
Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah.
Actually, in this movie, too, kind of like the bad guys are the Americans.
Are the Americans at the end of the day, yeah.
Yeah, even the main Colombian guy doesn't get that much screen time.
No.
He does a lot of baseball stuff, which
is
funny.
He does a lot of baseball stuff.
Like a lot of, like an excessive amount of baseball stuff.
He loves himself some baseball.
Like if you were describing him later on in life and you're like, what was that cartel guy? They would be like, he was fucking super into baseball. That's all I remember.
No, definitely at his funeral, there's like a signed baseball from Jose Canseco or something.
Yeah. Especially back then, yeah. Yeah, no, he way too into baseball. But other than that, though, the bad guys are like the pencil-pushing fucking political stooges.
Oh, yeah. And, well, you know, the president.
And the president, yes.
Yeah.
Who is actually not the bad guy until the end.
Until the very end.
Yeah, until the very end. And, all right, so the movie opens with...
Spoiler alert, obviously.
Yeah. No, the bad guy.
We already told you that at the beginning of the fucking podcast, though.
It's also... Yeah, exactly. It's also Donald Muffet from The Thing.
Yeah. No, he's really great. I mean, this movie has so many great character actors.
Oh, yeah. He was also in Popeye really quick.
Oh, yeah. Popeye.
Not
a good movie, but...
It's a great movie. That's what you're talking about. It's a great 2-hour and 45-minute epic.
About the cartoon sailor man and his skinny girlfriend.
Yep.
Yeah.
With 42 musical numbers.
Yep.
Just like the cartoon used to have.
I remember.
You remember the Popeye cartoon was a musical number after another one?
Yeah.
Back to back.
Lots of dancing and singing.
Lots of dancing and singing. And then big...
And father issues, if I remember right.
Father issues.
Yeah.
Big dance routines that they were doing.
Sure,
I remember the Popeye cartoon. There was very little fighting dudes.
Yeah.
And way more choreography.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so the movie makes sense.
Yeah.
So the movie starts off there. Enchanter, I think, is the boat. It's just like there's this boat that
there's like a yacht.
That yacht is National Guard. I don't know. They intercept it for some reason.
Oh, because it's like off course and not responding. And I don't know. All the dudes that are on it have blood all over them.
Yeah. And they're all brown guys covered in blood.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's something about
something
this.
Fishy.
Yeah. This accountant who's the president's friend, his boat's not supposed to be covered in brown dudes, covered in blood.
Yeah.
Full of brown dudes covered in blood. I don't remember when they left being full of brown dudes covered in blood.
Got this notice here.
Yep. So anyway, they intercept it. They find out the family that owned it has been shot dead, executed, thrown off the side or whatever into the water. And then we get, you know, Jack Ryan gets called into it because it's a big deal. Because that guy is the president's friend, like
close personal friend. They went to college together. Were they roommates, I think they may have said?
Yeah, something like that.
Like, yeah, they like A-teamed the first lady together back when they were like both 19.
Yeah. They're A-framing chicks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Back then you could just do it whenever.
It was the swinging 60s.
Yeah, exactly. There was no syphilis.
No.
Actually, back then there was a cure for syphilis, so you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's fine.
So anyway, they were tag teaming girls together. So then that guy got killed with his wife and kids.
Right.
And Jack Ryan gets called in because he gets called into shit like this. We learned about after October.
He's a smart guy.
James Earl Jones just brings him in for shit.
Yeah. When James Earl Jones is faced with a problem that seems crazy, he's brings old JR in.
Exactly. Jack Ryan comes in and he is like, oh, well, you know, like they clearly executed him for a reason. And then we get the other guy. What's his name? Cutter?
Cutter.
Cutter makes a weird remark to the president where he's like, fucking pirates, right, guys? They kill dudes all the time, right, guys? And the president's like, this was my friend.
Yeah.
And then we get the sense like, this is a big deal. I have to do some shit. So then Jack Ryan gets thrown into the mix We get to see the cartel guy playing baseball for a minute, and
shortly after that, James Earl Jones gets sick.
Yeah.
And so Jack
Ryan. During that meeting, James Earl Jones just like does a weird cough that everybody's like, a cancer cough.
Yeah. It's they might as well have done that scene where he pulls out a tissue, coughs, and then they show the blood.
Yeah. Or a scene where Jack Ryan drives off in the Batmobile and James Earl Jones just looks after him, but he's clearly very sad. Yeah, like something's going to happen.
Single tear.
Yeah, single tear on his
eye. The single tear. Like, I'm not going to be around to
take care
away.
Of him forever. Yeah, it was very obvious for them to make a big deal about his cough.
Yeah.
It is also a room full of fucking 60-year-olds, so maybe they know what cancer is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the classic, you know, cut to him writing a letter. My dearest Jack.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's the hardest one. When you're reading this,
or recording himself on tape, when you watch this, I'll already be dead.
Jack Ryan gets thrown into it, but... The other guys was the judge from Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Who sent the Scolari brothers
to the chair. Gave him the chair.
Tried him for murder. Gave him the chair. He doesn't believe in ghosts.
He does not believe in ghosts.
Does not believe
in the Ghostbusters.
No, not even that. Yeah. Holds him in contempt.
Yeah, I believe so.
I believe so, yeah. So anyway, he comes up with this plan, and it's an interesting plan. Because I don't know what he's getting from it. They're just like, we're going to kill these fucking Contras. And then this is I think... Unless I missed something, my biggest thing that I didn't believe about that is that where's the money to be made?
Right. I think, so this movie does things slightly in reverse because, right. So he orders the hit on, like he orders this whole team to go down there and kill a bunch of dudes. And then after that, he makes a deal with one dude to like share the profits of the drug running.
Right.
And I feel like in real life, that happens the other way around.
The other way around.
Yeah.
I mean, later we find out that they seized $600 million.
Right.
Right.
$650 million
and change.
Yeah.
But that never comes into play until like, he's not getting that
well,
money.
And that's also, they seize that in a very public, like they.
In a very public way. So it's not in even the like press and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas again, in reality, there was.
The Oliver North stuff, the Contra scandal.
Yeah, like, well, and even after that, the other stuff that came out later, where it's like, oh yeah, the cocaine busts and stuff, like half of those were CIA ops.
Yeah, exactly.
Like by the time we tracked down where all this money and drugs were coming from, they were CIA costs to pay for other elite like illegal shady shit that the CIA was up to.
They were like just moving money around, and then like it's a. I mean, if you read up on it or if you watch Narcos or whatever, like you're like, oh, they're attacking these fucking like drug cartels to get the money to topple full governments.
Right.
Like they're moving up higher than.
Exactly. Than yeah. That. Cause it's not really about the drugs. It's about, okay, we need the money so that we can finance all this other shit so that we can.
Yeah. We can just take over the world. Yeah. Kind of deal. Yeah.
Or whatever we need to do. Sure.
But but in this one, like they don't never really say why, other than that the president is very upset about his friend dying. And he does say the title of the movie, 9 minutes into this movie.
He does.
He says these drug guys clear and present danger.
Not true.
No, not true. Not at all. No, they are not the problem.
Well, and they're not clear, first of all.
Yeah. They're not very present.
And they're not present because they're fucking Columbia, 3,000 miles away.
Yeah. And they're like, they were like a clear and present danger to his friend that got killed, but that was still 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, like, yeah, it's a lie.
Yeah. No, it's a lie.
At least in Hunt for Red October, they were hunting Red October.
That's true. So movie's a lie.
Yeah.
So I guess it plays into the themes of the movie. Mm-hmm. You can't trust anybody. Even the movie.
Not even the president of the United States.
Not even the person that named the movie.
What? Cutter and the judge from Ghostbusters 2, that's what we'll call him.
Yep.
Actually, it might be the same guy. I can't remember the names. But anyway, they come up with this plan to take out the cartel. And they hire Willem Dafoe to bring in his Contra guys.
Right.
Who also, we saw Willem Dafoe in Patriot Games.
Right, right. He plays the character of Clark. He's like a special ops.
Yeah.
Spy, soldier.
He's that fucking guy that's just around and you find out that he's got all his fingers and toes and shit.
Yeah.
Like, he lives there.
He's the guy at the beginning of every action movie where you go to some shady bar.
Yeah.
And you're like, I need to speak to Clark. And they're like, he's in the corner.
Yeah. And he's been there for 22 years.
Yeah.
He knows how all the political work shit works. And he can get you whatever you want.
Yep.
And that's what he does. He gets these mercenaries, including
Well, they're actually U.S. soldiers. Yeah, they're U.S. soldiers. They pull them off the books and they tell them it's one of these classic, you know.
You're the best at what you do.
Yeah, you're the best, but you can never tell anybody what's going to happen. Like, give us your tags. We're going to throw these in the garbage.
Yeah, and, that's right. There's a scene where he's like, everybody give me your tags. Yeah. Like, if you, that way, nobody if you're found know, out, nobody yeah. knows you're American soldier.
If you're captured, like, we'll deny all knowledge of your whereabouts or identity or whatever the fuck.
But at the end, I guess, you get a good payday?
I assume so, yeah. I assume so, right? Yeah.
Including Raymond Cruz, who's the best sniper that ever lived at the time.
That's right.
It's actually a really cool scene where they're testing him, and they have, like, it's like the two jeeps, and they have a target,
mm-hmm.
and he continuously shoots a target while they're trying to guess where he's at.
Yeah.
So he keeps getting closer and shooting the target. And getting
he pops up, and he's, like, 2 feet in
yeah,
front of
yeah, yeah, he's, yeah. like, very close to them. To one, Benjamin Bratt. Who was like, shit, Benjamin Bratt is in this? I can't wait to see more of Benjamin Bratt in this movie. And that was the end of Benjamin Bratt. And that
he's
fucking
in more
scene.
Movie. He's in more movie, but, you know, he doesn't do much.
He doesn't do much.
He gets just, captured.
He gets captured, yeah. He's, like, in it here and there, but, like, as a memorable character.
He's not, like, a badass. Yeah.
No, not at all.
The sniper's the badass. And then Clark, obviously.
Yeah. And Raymond Cruz, you recognize that guy from a lot of... He was always playing a middle America bad guy. Or just like a middle American guy.
Yeah.
Look him up. He's in a lot of stuff. So then we get a whole bunch of political shit.
Yeah.
We find out that advisor to the cartel guy is also, he's kind of playing both sides.
Yeah.
Which is actually a pretty interesting angle that doesn't get explored as much as it should have.
As much as it could have, yeah.
Because there's
sure.
so much Harrison Ford yelling at stuff that we need to get to.
That's true. That's definitely something that probably is covered more in the books, I would think.
Right. Yeah. Because he's
dating the secretary of, like, the NSA secretary or something, or, like, the, I don't know, some bigwig.
Right, so he can get information from her. But he's also, he's playing it incognito. There's a scene where Harrison Ford and his wife go to eat at this place, and he's there with the secretary, but he recognizes Harrison Ford, I think, or something, and he bails out. He's like...
I have no memory of this scene.
Yeah, no, he's like, why don't we just get food at the hotel? And she's like, I don't want to. And he's like, no, let's get food at the hotel. I'll go to the taxi cab. And he, like, leaves right away. So then when Harrison Ford shows up and says hi to her, she's like, oh, that's my new Colombian boyfriend. He's like a...
You know, from Colombia, the place where all the drugs are from that we're working on very hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she makes a comment like, he's like a Colombian Jack Ryan or something like that that sticks with him. But anyway, he's a good character. He's going to kill the main cartel guy.
Right. And take over.
And take over. He's also banging an NSA secretary.
Yeah.
Like he's
pretty cool.
He's actually the guy we should be following.
He really actually now, if you made this movie now, he would be the guy you followed, right?
He is a bad guy you follow. Yeah, for sure.
This is like the Breaking Bad character or the Narcos character that you're following for a season on Netflix.
Right. Yeah. He's the main bad guy. But no, there's political bad guys that we got. Right. Follow. There's an interesting scene where the president, where they're telling the president, like, this is going to come out. You should deny that you are friends with him. Right. And Jack Ryan is like, no, you should tell everybody that you're very dear friends with him. And then that happens. And then I was like, what just happened? Because they're like, then the fuse, they got nowhere to go if you admit it. And I'm like, they got everywhere to go if you admit it. Like, they can make all these connections to
I mean, he's right only in that, I mean, it's pretty odd. Like, if they were college roommates.
Right.
Are very close and they have all these connections and all, you know, for years and years and years, like the media, even in 1994, whenever this movie's made or set, the media is going to figure that shit out. So there's no point in denying it. Jack Ryan's right about that, because if you deny it, then it just makes it look even shadier.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's true.
But also you're right that if you say, yeah, I'm very dear friends with that guy that was heavily connected with the cartel.
With the fucking cartel. And like laundering money for the cartels. Yeah. We go way back. Like, you can't say there's nowhere for the press to go with
that. Yeah, no, there's still a lot of room. There's still a lot of room. They can still go in that direction of, you were best friends with a guy laundering money for the cartels. I don't know. That's a pretty rich vein
for
them to tap
into.
Maybe
we should talk about that. Yeah. And also, it's really funny because that scene happens and Jack Ryan is like, no, tell them you're very good friends with them. They got nowhere to go. And then the president goes up and he says it. He's like, I was very good friends with him. Jack Ryan gets very excited. And then the reporter on TV is like, well, we got nowhere to go from there. Yeah. I was like, come on, guys. Like, he's got very clearly, like, the reporter's like, well, he diffuses the, you know what I mean? Like, he clearly says what Jack Ryan said. I mean, Jack Ryan gets excited about it, but still very funny. So anyway, They got $650 million from the first raid on the cartel that they did, that the soldiers did.
And the raid that they do, don't they? So, well, this is before they send the soldiers in, I think, right? So
no, this is the first run of the soldiers.
Because he goes down. This is when Jack Ryan goes down to Colombia.
So they seize $650 million, and then they send Jack Ryan down to handle
it. To get it? Is that what it is? Yeah. Okay.
To handle the money.
I thought we may be wrong on that order, but either way, he goes down. And this is where the best action scene in the movie happens?
Yes, by far. So if you're thinking that the movie is going to end with a badass scene of him killing the president, you're wrong.
Get the hell out of my office. Exactly. I'm the president now.
Yeah. And he kicks him out of the window?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That's how it should have been. And he has a cool pun in it. Like, I'm like hail to the chief, right?
Yeah. Sure. Like, hail to the chief. Yeah.
Like, you do that, but he kicks him out the window or something, and he's like, hell to the cheat, or something dumb like that, and he kills him.
Well, if you rename him from Jack Ryan to, like, Chet Ryan, and then he's like,
Ryan. No, we're way off. Anyway, he should have kicked him straight out the window.
Hef?
And be like, I'm president now.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do that. But what we do get is this awesome scene where it's like four, Broncos.
Yeah.
Driving through the cities of Bogota, and then they get accosted by bazookas and shit. It's actually a really fucking solid action sequence.
Yeah.
And I remember when I saw it, it was a big deal. Like, it was a huge action sequence that I hadn't seen before, and they kept showing it over and over again. They used it in a bunch of other shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually a really solid.
I do feel like it's a scene. I don't know if this is the first time this scene was done, but it is a scene that's been done a lot since then, where it's like, oh, block the road, and from either sides, there's dudes shooting, and bazookas, and cars exploding.
Bazookas and
like, I feel like that happens at least once a year in an action movie.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. Especially if you're in, like, a Central America or Latin America thing.
Oh, for sure.
Or even in the Middle
East. Even in Europe.
Yeah, that's true. In Europe, it did a lot, too.
I feel like that probably happened in Ronin.
One of the Taken movies.
Taken. Italian Job, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's definitely some shit like that.
But we get this great scene.
It's definitely happened at least four times in Mission Impossible movies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. One, his buddy dies. Was kind of his buddy, I guess.
I mean, they say he's his buddy a bunch.
Yeah. People say he's his buddy.
Yeah.
He dies in a kind of courageous way because they're shooting machine guns at them. And then they just pull out handguns and are just shooting up into the sky with him. And then he ends up getting killed. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
But Jack Ryan carries him over to, like, safety and stuff. And then that's when it gets personal.
That's right.
And Jack Ryan is like, what's going on? Why do we get attacked? And all that stuff. And then that's when he decides to go after Cutter, right, again?
I think this is when he goes to Congress and he's like, hey, I need more money to go after these cartel dudes. And we're going to, like, track down the money and blah, 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 and all this. And then it's the other dude that uses that money to then hire Willem Dafoe and the other dudes to go fuck shit up.
But he finds out. He does he does all his Jack Ryan-type sleuthing where they have a recording. He connects again.
He's also actually kind of bad at it in this movie. I don't remember if it's this way in the book, but...
Yeah, he's not that good at it. He actually gets used a lot. He's a pawn in this fucking movie.
Yeah, kind of.
When you compare him to Patriot Games or even to Hunt for Red October, which you talked about last week, Hunt for Red October, there's that great scene in it where he's like kind of smarter than everybody, but nobody takes him seriously. And then there's a point where they're like, we have to take this guy seriously. Like, he knows what's going on. And I feel like Harrison Ford never has that moment in this.
That's true.
Even when he like... hacks into the computer and stuff, they're still like, you're never going to get away with this. Like, everybody's like, you're just a big joke. You know what I mean? And if it wasn't for Willem Dafoe trusting him, Jack Ryan kind of goes nowhere in there. He gets martyred. He gets like...
Yeah, he totally gets martyred.
He dies and he gets blamed for everything, just like James Earl Jones, just like they want him to do for James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
But he makes it out of this. He does his sleuthing where he uses voice recognition stuff because the secretary gets killed.
Right.
And he's like, she was seeing a Colombian guy. Where have I heard that word Colombian guy before? Oh, that's right.
He's looking at a Colombian guy. Looking at his plane ticket to Colombia that he just got back from.
Where do I know that?
He looks familiar for some.
Yeah, she has a recording because he called her and he did that thing where she answered and it was the answering machine picked up and he's like, pick up and stop recording. Like something very obviously paranoid.
Yeah.
So then they connect him to another recording.
That's a thing I miss. We can't do that anymore. You can't do the like, hey, pick up, it's me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The answer machines don't do that anymore.
No. If someone leaves a message on my phone, I got to wait till the whole message is done. Right. And then I got to wait for Apple to translate that into text so that I can look at the text and decide and whether or not.
It. Yeah.
And try and figure out because something is way off.
Yeah.
It's going to be way, way off.
Yeah, it'll be like, hey, Francisco, this is John from Eagles Blue 882 talking about car insurance, black dude, keys 258. And I'm like, oh, it's the insurance guy. Yeah, like it's my way to decipher what the fuck they're putting together.
Right.
But you don't have to like answer or listen to the actual message. Yeah.
But you don't get that satisfaction of like, hey, it's me. And you're like, oh, I want to talk to this person. Click.
Yeah, I'll answer. I'll be like, hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Now, long gone. I do miss. I miss getting a phone call that was just out loud in your fucking house.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what it was.
Yep.
You're just like, you know what? If I remember anything from the 90s movies, is you were doing something like painting the apartment.
Sure.
Or making yourself a
nice or you're meal. having a romantic dinner with the missus.
Yeah.
And then you're this lady that you met calls up.
Yep. And then, yeah, exactly.
And it's like, hey, John, it's me, sexy lady.
And then you're like, oh, I got to answer really fucking quick. Yeah,
and act like it's nothing because it is Glenn nothing.
When Glenn Close calls you. Yeah, it is nothing.
It is nothing, but the wife will never accept that it's actually nothing.
Yeah. When Christie Brinkley calls you, leaves a message, and halfway through you're like, oh, what was this? Hello? These guys at the office playing a prank on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And it really was, but she's not going to believe that.
Never going to believe that. Also, just so you ladies know, it's always a prank. It's never an actual girl. It's always your dudes funning you.
Yeah.
Man. They're fucking with you.
We do that constantly.
They do that shit all the time.
Every week, at least 3 times a week.
I didn't tell you that old Greg hires chicks to come up to me at the bar and yell, oh, you were cool fucking me last night, but now you're ignoring my text?
Yeah.
Old Greg does that shit all the time.
Old Greg is a fucking menace to men everywhere.
Yeah, he's a fucking jokester, that guy.
Yeah, very funny guy.
I didn't tell you that. He gets girls to call me and leave messages out loud that say, you know, like I had a lot of fun 2 days ago and we should do it again.
Yeah.
Greg, that son of a bitch.
All those I'm pregnant calls, totally old Greg.
Greg, man.
Fucking G.
I mean, he's a funny guy and you know I love
fucking
him.
Fucking OG, man.
I hardly ever talk about him because he's a mystery, but you know.
He's a bit of an enigma wrapped in a mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I only bring him up for these gags that he pulls. But you know
that's what he does. See, he's a loner.
Yeah.
But he's got that wicked sense of humor.
He's got that wicked sense of humor. So that's
he's a real joker, you know, that guy?
Yeah, that's why I only mention him when all these jokes come up.
Yeah.
Greg, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble, Greg.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's how he catches him in a Greg-style prank. No, where he connects the two calls to each other. He starts putting shit together. They try to pull one over on old Jack Ryan because they cut him out of the loop. They don't tell him about any other plans because they say he's too much of a Boy Scout.
Yeah, which he is.
Which he is. And also, I feel like if you're an old political dude, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
You're not a Boy Scout around. This motherfucker's tell the truth all the time. We don't need truth.
What definitely don't want truth. I mean, they're doing something extremely illegal and not telling anybody about it. So, you know.
And also, I still don't get their motivation.
Yeah, no, again, they do it reverse.
Yeah.
Their motivation, which in real life, again, the CIA's motivation was we need money to do other shit.
Yeah, but they don't mention that shit till the money's there. Anyway, also we get the sense Felix, who's the, well, we already know this, he's betraying the main cartel. Then we get a whole bunch of political shit and a whole bunch of like sleuthy shit before we get to the nitty gritty, which is a scene in which two dudes are fighting over a computer.
Yeah, this is the great swordfish hacking scene.
Yep.
This is Angelina Jolie, hackers.
Yep. And this happens
Neo
like...
Neo in the Matrix.
It's like we had one badass fucking action sequence and when people died and they're blowing up shit with bazookas. And then 20 minutes later, we get the next badass action sequence of one 48-year-old Harrison Ford and another 42-year-old dude
Typing on computers
super fast.
What if Do you remember the real adventures of Johnny Quest? Not the fake ones, the real ones, though.
The real ones, yeah.
Yeah, where they would go into Quest World.
Oh, yeah.
What if, or, you know, I mean, you could also use The Matrix, obviously, but what if during that scene...
Quest World or nothing.
Quest World or nothing. Bad 1995, made for TV CG or nothing.
Oh, man. Like Langoliers?
Yeah, yeah. So if just, like, they start typing on the computer, he's like, no, I got to go in. And both Harrison Ford and that other dude plug in to the computer, and we just get a 15-minute sequence in bad 1994 CGI of
like
them fighting on the interwebs.
And shit.
Yeah.
I like Lawnmower Man.
Yes.
Like Lawnmower like Man. Lawnmower like Man. Super liquidy. Because
or Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
again,
yeah.
Quest World.
When or Quest World, exactly. When they started doing a lot of really good CGI, they figured out that they could do liquid really well and nothing else.
Right.
So everything is just
thank you,
fucking
Abyss.
Liquid. Yeah, yeah. No, thanks, Abyss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like fucking Cameron nailed it with Abyss, and everybody's like, well, we got to do that from
yeah.
now on.
Yeah.
So all the fucking, it's all like, it's all like, there's cones and spheres, and now they're liquid.
Yep.
And there's worlds, but we can't make reality, so everything is liquid.
Like, yep.
We can't make it look real. But yeah, so they're in a weird liquid plastic.
Or like, go back and watch magma. The first Toy Story and see how the backgrounds are just
yeah.
nothing.
No, yeah. They're just like fucking flat surfaces.
Yep.
And flat colors. Oh, yeah.
And how the toys move like, I mean, they don't.
No, they don't. Yeah, the backgrounds don't.
Yeah.
But you're thinking Jack Ryan, you're saying Jack Ryan's in that world.
I'm saying Jack Ryan becomes Buzz Lightyear.
Yes.
And him and the other guy who's now playing Woody have a 20-minute Pixar adventure and then come back to the movie.
All right. All right. I'm about it. I'm about it. Because Pixar adventures are very fun.
Yeah.
They do not include the funeral of James Earl Jones, so that's good.
Although, I mean, later Pixar movies, I feel like would include the funeral of James Earl Jones.
Yeah, actually, you're probably correct. Like Toy Story 3 and beyond.
Yeah.
James Earl Jones
is dying in that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then,
I mean, if they had made, I mean, because Jim Varney never got his funeral in Toy Story.
Ah.
But.
Sad. Yeah, that's true.
You know, now.
They could have cut that fucking Slinky Dog in half.
They could
at
have.
Some point. He could have got caught in a machine. Oh, God, I can't even think about that, man. I'll cry. I'll cry right now.
Jim Carrey could have tried to roll him down fucking 10,000 feet of steps to a Tibetan monastery.
It's very funny, yeah. You know, because when you see a lot of steps, you're like, well, what is Slinky?
Yeah.
What if you put a Slinky in this thing? Yep. And then he would have died halfway through. I feel like their owner is getting up there in age. Eventually, we're going to get a Toy Story 8.
Old man with toys?
Yeah, yeah. Where
They haven't done the 40-year-old dude that still has his toys in boxes yet.
That was part two. That's why he gets stolen in part two, because the guy was a collector.
Right.
Yeah, he was
right.
Like a 40-year-old collector.
Yeah, you're right. But I want Andy to be that guy.
Yeah. Eventually, Andy like hunts him down again. Yeah.
He's like, oh, shit, I had this when I was a kid. I'm going to fucking...
Oh, this idea of like...
Vacuum seal this shit.
Somebody finding Woody and you could still read... Like, they clean him up and they do like that black light thing when you can see the Andy still.
Yeah.
And then they bring him back to him and he's on his deathbed, dying of cancer. He's like 65 years old. And he keeps talking about... He's like... he's doing a fucking Rosebud thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's just talking about Woody.
Yep.
And they find Woody and they bring him to him.
Yeah, sure.
And now Tom Hanks has to deal with the fact that his original owner is dying of cancer. All right. if the toys in this last forever, which they can.
Right.
If they're properly
immortal.
Cared for.
Sure.
If they're properly cared for, they're immortal. You can have a scenario where they have to deal with their original owner's death.
For sure.
All right.
100%.
That's right.
But also, Andy's not his original owner.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. It's like when in that very, very sad when Snoopy goes back to find his original. Actually, that's been done already.
Oh, okay. Well,
Snoopy goes back to find his original owner, who's also dying of something.
Nice.
She's very sick, and she had to give him up because she was very sick of something. And then he goes back to find her, and then he decides, like, nah, I want Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Charlie, old Schultz, what a hilarious fella that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Always finding the laughs in everything.
They go on a quest in which they are not allowed inside anywhere. There's a song, the No Dogs Allowed song, where Snoopy can get, not, he's like living on the streets.
Yeah.
He turns
homeless. Nothing more hilarious than a homeless dog. Yeah.
Nothing more hilarious than a homeless dog trying to find the girl that gave him up because she was too dying, sick.
Who's a child.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who is dying.
Like a 9-year-old.
Like a 9-year-old girl who is dying from a mortal disease.
So she had to give him up for it.
Gave up her dog, the one comfort in her
yes.
dying life, that she is again dying.
Yep. That he lives, the owner that has shown him nothing but unconditional love to find her, becomes homeless.
Yeah.
And then only to find out that he does not love her and she does not love him the same way anymore. And he has to go back.
Who are this girl's parents that were like, hey, our daughter's really sick. What should we do for her? She really needs emotional support in this time. I don't know. Let's get rid of her dog.
Yeah. Let's throw the dog away.
Yeah.
Let's give the dog back to the puppy farm or whatever.
Jesus Christ. Worst parents.
What if maybe she was allergic, like deathly allergic to the dog?
Oh, you think the dog caused her death? Maybe yeah. Is Snoopy a murderer?
Not like on purpose. No,
Snoopy murderer.
Oh, okay.
That's the new arc.
So when he comes back, maybe that's what she's like, hey, I can't have you anymore. You're killing me.
Yeah.
You're literally killing me, Snoopy. And he's like, I've been traveling for weeks on the streets, motherfucker. I can't even go into places anymore.
Yeah.
It's just me and old Woodstock here. And then she's like, no, go back. But at the end of the story, you know, we get a dance number with the piano and all that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And he goes back. I mean, we love Charlie Brown.
Yeah, sure.
I guess. I don't know.
Now I kind of hate him, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, everyone kind of hates him in those movies. That famous comic strip where, you know, good old Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown. How I hate him.
Yeah, everybody says they hate him quite a bit in the comic strip.
Yeah, no, everyone hates him.
Nobody likes him. Everybody's like, God, Charlie Brown. God damn it, Charlie Brown.
God, that was the name of the special that never made it to CBS.
God damn it, Charlie Brown. they could have all been called that. Everybody hates Charlie Brown at some point.
I do love...
People like Pigpen way more than...
The idea of being in, like, 1973, and you're in a meeting with the CBS execs and being like, all right, we loved, you know, Good Christmas, Charlie Brown. I got another one for you.
Yeah, we got Great Pumpkin and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but... what's this one called? God damn it, Charlie Brown.
It's about how much everybody hates Charlie Brown. And then the second was like, well, where I do agree with you that everybody hates Charlie Brown, maybe not take the Lord's name in vain.
It's still 1973. We can't really do that on television.
Only hippies
do that. What if we can just say, fuck you, Charlie Brown? They're like, again.
Yeah, this is more of a hippie thing. We don't want to do that. We got Nixon in office now. We gotta lean more into the conservative Bible Belt.
Charlie Brown gets kicked in the nuts.
Can't
do it.
Darn it, Charlie Brown.
Doesn't have the same. And then that's when the writer's like, no, I'm out. If we're doing Charlie Brown, I'm out. I'm not doing it.
And they're like, it's an Easter, Charlie Brown. That's what they come up with, and that's what we get.
That's what we get. It's so, Easter, goddammit. That was they just left that part out. Yeah. In the original script, though.
Yeah. So then we get a scene where they try to kill the cartel guy by dropping a CGI.
A terrible CGI bomb.
We're talking about a
Quest World style
CGI. It just so happens that our main cartel guys are not in the building at the time.
Ah, it's funny how that happens.
Every time. But it was also a pretty rad looking birthday party that they were having.
Yeah.
It just needed tigers. To be more realistic, it needed tigers.
Tigers and like hippos. chicks in bikinis.
Chicks in bikinis, hippos and stuff. Because if I know anything about the cartel guys back then, they just like collecting crazy wild animals.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. You give me an unlimited amount of money, I'm getting some giraffes.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm buying.
I'm going to have a zoo.
A lot of them. Orangutans.
Instead of we bought a zoo, it's going to be my drug money bought a zoo.
Yeah. My cocaine money bought a zoo.
Yeah.
I would just be playing with orangutans all the time. I would teach orangutans to play football. Or at least to catch a football.
Yeah.
I feel like it would not be that hard.
No. Orangutans can catch.
They're like aloof.
I mean, what's going to be hard is teaching them how to run a route.
Yeah, yeah.
And no. You got to cut hard on the 10.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 10 and then cut hard outside.
You're going to lose a lot of fucking defense, a lot of defense guys.
Yeah.
And an orangutan ripping a guy's head off.
Yeah.
In one quick swoop. Yeah. But I would definitely do that. And also, I would have the best fucking league ever. And with just an orangutan is my quarterback.
Man, if you just do an all-animal football,
Hell yeah.
It's just all animal football, just orangutans and giraffes and tigers and shit.
Bears?
Oh my God. What a game.
Yeah.
What a world.
Right. How many humans are in it? That
zero humans.
Yeah, no, because they'll get killed.
Yeah, no, they would 100% get killed.
And it's just, I feel like it would be a lot of like, oh, they're just kind of sitting around, and then, oh, that one killed that one. And then like more sitting around.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. They only do shit when they're hungry.
Yeah.
Other than that, they'll just kind of sleep around.
You don't think you could train them?
I mean, you could train them to play football. Well, some of them. Yeah, I guess so.
I guess maybe you'd have to limit the type of animals. Maybe it's just dolphins and like apes, just the more intelligent ones.
But if you're doing dolphins and it's got to be water, and apes can't be in the water.
Why not? They can swim.
I guess they could swim. Not as well as dolphins, though.
That's true. The Miami Dolphins would finally have a competitive advantage on the rest of the league.
Yeah. Although dolphins are by nature like compassionate creatures. So maybe it would be harder to teach them to like be mean.
That's true. You got to have that. You got to have the will of the eye of the tiger.
Yeah. You have to have the eye of
the will
tiger.
Of the fight.
So then you throw tigers in it.
Yeah. And they're in the water. Yeah.
Eventually the apes are just wrangling the fucking dolphins out to fight the tigers.
Can we just get the Jungle Book crew?
Fucking game ever. The what?
The Jungle Book crew. You got to get a bear, a snake, a tiger, a couple wolves, and some orangutans.
Yeah. A panther.
Panther, yeah, fuck yeah, panther.
Yeah, all right, I'm about it.
Get a mongoose, get Rikki Tikki Tavi in there.
Yeah, let's get some. Of course, you get a
couple
a mongoose
cobras.
In there.
Yeah,
it's the best name mongoose ever lived.
Yeah, Rikki Tikki Tavi is a good name.
Yeah, that's a great fucking name. All right, I'm about it. No Mowgli though. Fuck that kid.
Yeah. No, again, all
I think
all
we've
animals.
Talked about it.
All animals, no humans.
I think we talked about how Mowgli sucks before.
Have we?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean,
maybe that was
just
my head.
That might have been just there.
But then this is when we get the Jack Ryan typing really fast. At
yeah, so he got one of the other CIA guys, their like computer expert, to hack into the other guy's system.
Greg German from like Ally McBeal and stuff. He's been a bunch of shit.
He's been a bunch of shit, yeah. So
also, he was the guy that gets killed by Chucky in Child's Play Part 2 in the very beginning. Yeah, it's actually a very funny sequence.
So yeah, so Harrison Ford hacks into his computer, but he hacks into it at the same time that he's on it.
Yes.
So then he's trying to delete files before Harrison Ford can print them, which he takes for fucking ever to do.
So he takes forever to figure out the print screen.
Yeah.
Then
he doesn't have paper in his printer.
Oh my God. So he approaches it the way my grandfather...
The way a 58-year-old man would approach a fucking...
What?
Yeah.
Huh? Like print screen. What?
Yeah.
What's print screen?
I mean, I know Harrison Ford's...
It's not going to say print screen. It's going to say P-R-N-T-S-C-R-N.
Nope.
That one. All right. It's not printing. Is there paper in your printer? What?
Yeah.
You're like, open the drawer. Which drawer? Yeah, it's that exact sequence.
It is that exact sequence.
Also, we were talking about it while watching it. The print screen, probably a key it's still there now, but it was specifically made for this reason back then.
Yeah.
So you could print the actual screen in an actual printer.
Right.
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
He doesn't use it right away. It takes forever to fucking use it.
Takes forever. So then eventually he gets something to print out that says some shit, and then they have a tense argument.
Yeah, he confronts him.
Where the other guy goes to his safe and pulls out a letter from the president saying that...
he's free to do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a good letter to have.
It is a good letter to have. He's like, oh yeah, whatever we're going to do in this fucking Colombian dude, it's like, you're good to go.
I feel like next time we elect a crazy person to office, which should be in about two and a half years, I need to give me one of them letters.
Yeah, like just a presidential, like,
yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I really want one.
We should get a presidential pardon from something.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like a pre-pardon for like whatever I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah.
I feel like
it
won't be that. I mean, the like Biden is starting to lose his grasp.
He is. He is.
I feel like we could maybe
get it before the next one. You're right.
Yeah.
Maybe if we just show up and pretend to be his grandkids.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I think we might be okay.
Grandpa, it's us. Yeah.
Grandpa Joe, it's us. Remember that pardon you were gonna give us?
Remember when your grandchildren and one white dude and one Mexican dude? Yeah. Well, can you?
Well, I mean, your daughter was a bit of a whore. So
yeah, you know, remember that part? Can you give us all the presidential pardon stuff, please?
Yeah.
He's like, what?
Come on, Gramps. I brought you your favorite Meatloaf?
Yeah, your ribbon candy. I brought you the Woody toy that you grew up with. That you've been nonsensically talking about.
For the last 15 years. Yeah. Yep.
I brought you that one. Huh? Remember that?
God, that's a good idea.
Anyway, give me a presidential pardon.
Yeah.
Now. All right. We're weaving an awesome storyline here.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think we can get away with this too.
Yeah. Bring it at us, Pixar. Like 10
I mean,
years.
I feel like if we wait another 6 months, and yeah, I think we're good. I think we're good. If we just show up with a doctored photo of us as teenagers with him,
yeah, with him, like, yeah, I still looking exactly the same, but you know,
yeah,
30 years ago, 20 years ago,
it doesn't matter.
No,
yeah, I think we can do it.
We just show up, and he's just like, "What? Yeah, you know, grandkids." Like, all right. How's your mom doing? She's doing all right, you know.
Yeah. Maybe not even grandkids. Maybe we can be like grandnephews.
Nephews yeah. Sounds like the right.
Yeah.
We can do that old scam that they do with old people all the time where, like, it's me, your nephew. I'm in a little bit of trouble, but I don't want to tell my mom, you know,
right.
your cousin about yeah. it because you know how she is.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, I do know how she is. And I'm like, yeah, can you send me, like, $4 million?
Only in this case, a presidential pardon and maybe like my own Secret Service agent?
Yep, can you send me a letter that says I am pardoned of all wrongdoing?
And I get a Secret Service agent that will take a bullet for me?
Hell yeah. Then we would just like, also, it would be the most boring job for a Secret Service agent.
I mean, not with that pardon.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah,
not with that pardon in hand, son.
Right. We're doing some shit. We're
getting up to some shenanigans then.
Yeah, we got a fucking guy to take a bullet for us and a pardon. Yeah, at the very least, we're stealing a car.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that's it.
I mean, at least, yeah.
We're stealing pucks of Tony Phil.
And driving amok. Yeah. Driving like madmen.
Yeah, I don't know how much trouble do we, other than trying to break into the Playboy Mansion from the 80s, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
How much trouble would we get in with a presidential pardon?
Yeah.
Like, how far would we go? I mean, I definitely feel like stealing, like, a Lamborghini.
Oh, yeah. When we were in Vegas, you could drive a Lamborghini for $700.
Yep.
So why not steal it?
Why not just take it and be like, I'm pardoned. What the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah. Wreck it. Maybe. Hopefully steal it from a douchebag, which was it more than
likely. I mean, more than likely. More than yeah.
We just pretend to be valets. Just exactly. Steal awesome cars. Yeah. That old bit.
That's a classic bit.
Classic bit, yeah.
And then if the actual valets say anything, we got our Secret Service guy.
Yeah.
He's
got to
do whatever we sell
him. About, yeah.
Yeah.
We could be walking on grabbing ass everywhere.
That's right. Like, what are you going to do? We're pardoned.
Presidential pardon. Oh, my God. That TikTok video would blow up super fast. Telling a fucking...
A cocktail waitress.
Yeah, that we have a pardon. Presidential pardon. And then recording us and be like, no, you can't kick us out of this establishment. We have a presidential pardon, goddammit.
Goddamn worse.
Charles, our... Secret Service guy, tell them right now.
Don't make me call up Grand Uncle Joe.
Yeah, good old Uncle
what's
Joe.
Old, yeah.
Presidential pardon. Yeah, it wouldn't last that long before we lose those. Yeah.
We'd lose it pretty quick.
We lose it very quick.
Yeah.
We get a whole bunch of other stuff in the movie. So then after he hacks into that stuff, he decides, well, actually he gets... Kind of
around that same time, that's when James Earl Jones goes down.
Yeah, James Earl Jones.
So
dies.
He's been sick. Did we mention he was sick?
He had cancer. Yeah, he had the cancer.
Yeah, he had the big C.
He's also kind of the only guy that can vouch for him.
Yes.
Nobody else does. Everybody, he's got the
he's
position.
Yeah.
He's got the position. But really, if we know anything about these political positions, is that they don't matter once somebody's got to go down. And if he's got to go down, James Earl Jones is the only guy that can protect him, and he dies.
Right.
We get a funeral, and then at this point, like, you know, it's been personal, but it gets a little more personal.
Yeah, and the funeral, at the same time the funeral's happening, our covert secret ops guys are getting taken out.
Yeah, they get taken down, and it's because they, like, Felix kind of, like, got information from them about...
Well,
because
at this point, he's made the deal with the other guy, Cutter, or whatever.
Yeah, we can't remember which one is Cutter.
Yeah.
I cannot remember which one's Cutter.
But he's made a deal...
With the judge from Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, judge from Ghostbusters 2, and... Colombian drug lord number two.
Yeah, Felix.
Felix. They make a deal where he's going to take out the other cartel guy, but in return, Cutter's going to let him do whatever the fuck he wants.
Right.
And basically, he'll just get kickbacks and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then That betrays the soldiers. This is where the big Jack Ryan thing where he's like, you betray the American people and all that stuff. Right. This is where it comes from.
Yeah.
He makes that deal. They get like captured and killed.
Right. Most of them get killed. A few of them get captured. Like, yeah. Like two guys get captured. Everyone else dies.
Yeah. Everyone else dies. And then.
And Willem Dafoe is on the phone with Washington being like, I can't reach my men. And they're like, yeah, we had to shut it all down.
But they blame Jack Ryan. They're like, Jack Ryan came in here all gung-ho looking for shit and shut it down. So then Jack Ryan goes down because he's trying to find Clark.
And it looks like Willem Dafoe is going to kill him.
Yeah.
And in fact, he calls up the other guy and he's like, I killed Jack Ryan.
Yeah. And then. But dude, he didn't kill him.
Yeah, he didn't.
They're still friends, just like they were in Patriot Games. Kinda. You know, they're still
kind of friends.
They're just kind of coexisting, but peaceful.
Yeah.
They end up back in the jungle and stuff. And there's a great scene where they're like, what are we going to do? Like, the guys are captured. Oh, they find the sniper guy.
Yeah. Or the sniper guy finds them.
Finds them. Because he's the best sniper that ever lived.
Yeah.
He's like, you abandoned me and stuff. And they're like, no, we're going to get these guys out. And then he's like, what are you going to do? And you can't just walk up to the fortress and knock on the door. And cut to Jack Ryan walking up to the fortress, knocking on the door. Pretty good scene.
Yeah.
Pretty good scene. Because he has a card that says he is a CIA.
Yeah. He has his actual fucking business card saying he's the deputy director of the CIA.
And that's what happens with the helicopter. So they're like, we got to get a helicopter.
And he goes up to the helicopter guy, and he's like, will you take a check? And $2 million
Then they're like, who's the best helicopter pilot we have? And it's just a drunk guy at a bar.
Yeah, classic.
Classic. Even in Star Wars, they do it. Like, classic old school shit.
What if he went into the bar and it was Han Solo?
Oh, my God. Like 10 years, like 15 just CGI, years younger
him? Yeah, CGI Han Solo.
1980 Han Solo.
Yeah. 1977 Han Solo sitting in the bar with Chewbacca.
Hell yeah.
And he's like, you want a helicopter pilot?
Yeah.
You know, you don't know about the Millennium helicopter? Yeah.
He's like, we don't know if he's any good or not.
Any good?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you ever heard about the Columbia run? I made that in 12 parsecs.
Yeah, 12 parsecs I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been fucking great.
Anything
with older Harrison Ford, meeting younger Harrison Ford.
How has he not done that yet?
Probably because he's like...
Yeah, that's probably true. He just made that sound.
It's true. And they're like, all right, hear me out. We kill you in this one. He's like, all right, I'll do that one.
Yeah.
I'll do that one.
At no point during the Call of the Wild where they're like, what if we just, instead of CGIing the dog, we CGI young Harrison Ford?
Yeah, and he's like... I want one where I'm sitting on a sled for 2.5 hours.
All right. We'll go out to Alaska. We'll shoot you. No, I'm not doing that. I'm staying right here.
Green. I already did Star Wars, man. Green screen is all I'm doing.
I'm just sitting in this studio right outside my house, and that's it.
I hope that his career culminates with that. How awesome would it be if it just ends with him? Like a being John Malkovich type of situation where it's like a very meta. He plays himself.
Yeah.
But he has to go back and like meet all the other young hymns. Like that would
be fun.
In theory, it's cool.
In theory, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like
I thought you were going the other way and his last film would just be shot in his house.
Oh, yeah.
As that's he's just like, I'm not leaving. I don't know. I got eggs here. I got to eat these eggs. Like,
this is a black and white dinner party movie. 2 hours of a dinner party with him. And then that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a surly old guy. But if he also, like, not just Han Solo, but, like, him in Witness.
Yeah.
Him in The Fugitive. Sure. Also, they're probably all just the same guy.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. They're kind of all. It's like, hey, do you think that morality is above, like, legal and political? And then it's like, yeah, I do. And it's like, me too.
Yeah.
All right. We're kind of there, right?
Do you like punching dudes?
Yeah. You also like punching dudes? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, kind of do.
Are you kind of like way charismatic and like a dick to women? Yeah, I am. Get the fuck out. So am I.
They just become best friends.
Yeah. We just become best friends. Are you super obsessed with one other character? Yeah, I am. All right. Yeah, we get there.
They just form the Council of Fords.
Yeah. Council of Fords.
The cross-time Council of Fords of all grumbly old men smoking weed, making shit out of wood, flying planes. And
I have an earring for some reason. Yeah. It's just kind of weird and unsettling. It's a 72-year-old man. Yep. An angry 72-year-old man in an interview with an earring on. It's kind of weird.
It's a little weird.
It's a little weird.
It's a little odd.
But no, we should definitely do that. So then he goes in. He convinces the cartel guy that Felix is trying to kill him because he has clear evidence of it. Because he's got a recording of it. And then we have actually kind of a cool scene where they confront Felix and the cartel guy has a baseball bat. And he's going to bash his fucking brains in.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool because he's been talking about baseball the whole time.
I was really, really looking forward to this.
Yeah, so I was like, oh yeah, he's been practicing for this shit the whole movie.
Then before he can.
That guy just kicks the door in and shoots all of them.
Yep.
Then
is that guy set up before? I don't think so.
Nope, not at all.
I could have just been drunk, but I don't remember that.
No. Maybe. He might have been one of the other
bushy-haired
mustache guys.
Yeah, exactly.
With a suit that's a little bit too big for them because it's fucking 1994.
Sure, sure.
And everybody, if we learned anything from Jack Ryan in the last movie, is your suit has to be way baggy and not fit you right.
Yeah.
You have to look like you put on your dad's suit.
That's right.
And that was the 90s.
It makes you look bigger. It scares predators.
It scares. Yeah, exactly. So, it makes you look wider and bigger. Yeah. And that's what you want with predators.
Exactly.
To be bigger and louder.
That's right.
And that's what the 90s suits were. Yep. So you put on a big 90s suit. It was just one of those guys. And he shoots him. He kills a cartel guy, almost kills Jack Ryan, but the sniper's there. And then everything goes crazy. They get into an old man fight where they 45-year-old punch each other.
Yep.
Which is not that hard. And also, they're very conscious of their lower backs.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, while punching.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They're just like, I got to be able to do shit tomorrow, man. Yeah. I can't throw all my lower back into this punch. Then I'm not going to be able to walk tomorrow.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Then, you know, Willem Dafoe and them show up and they're in there now.
Yeah. Stuff. We get some action and some fighting. Eventually, Harrison Ford has a one-on-one with the guy.
Yeah.
Punches him real good. Buries him in wood, much like...
Like in Witness when he buried that guy in grain.
Exactly so, yeah.
Yeah, he kills him with wood.
Only he doesn't actually kill him in this one.
No, he just...
He should have bashed him his face in with wood.
With
but
a
again,
big log, yeah.
It's not an R-rated movie.
Yeah, that's right. PG-13. Yeah. There's a couple of cutaways where you're like, oh, that was PG-13 right there.
Yep.
He's watching people die, but we don't have
to
see
it. But we don't have to see it now.
And he 100% could have smashed that guy's head in.
Why isn't this movie R?
No, actually.
Like, does anyone under 18 want to watch this movie?
It is. That's a fair point, especially because in 94, maybe this came out before Pulp Fiction, where R-rated movies became the rage for a minute.
Yeah.
So maybe it's still writing that, like, well, Jurassic Park was PG-13. And like,
and it's Harrison Ford. Well, but Harrison Ford been in R-rated movies.
He'd been in R-rated movies. Yeah.
I don't know. And Patriot Games, I think, was R.
I don't know. But yeah, you're right. There's no reason for this to not be R, or at least not play into PG-13.
Yeah.
Which it does.
Yeah.
There's a couple of points where it plays into PG-13.
I mean, now granted, I saw this movie as a kid, and I think you did too.
Yeah. But also, I didn't get it. It's the same thing with Hunt for Red October. I was just like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah.
But I'm like, my dad's into it, so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with this one. Like, my dad's into this political fucking weirdness and a web we weave and all that shit. So he obviously understands what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, so cool.
And you can't change the channel. He has the remote.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been working all day and shit.
And what are you going to do? Nothing. You don't have the internet.
No, you're just going to look at that Nintendo and be like, I wish I was playing that fucking Nintendo right now and not watching this fucking movie about two old guys fucking yelling at each other.
No, but that's what you're doing.
Which happens a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a couple of shootouts. There's a bunch of stuff that happens in that final scene where they're in the compound and stuff. And he almost gets killed. You know, there's explosions.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't get shot, actually.
He should have gotten the shot.
Yeah, he should have gotten that classic shoulder wound.
Because it's already been established in Hunt for October. He took a leg wound, right?
That's right, yeah.
He took a leg wound and he's a hero for that. He got the Purple Heart for that. So he could have taken a
Save some dudes. Yeah, he could have taken a shoulder shot.
Taken a shoulder shot and then come back from that. That would have been fine. Especially if he's standing in front of the president later.
Yeah. And he's wearing like a sling.
Yeah, He's got that sling. And he can mention it. He's like, I don't remember you being there taking bullets for motherfuckers.
Yeah. Taking bullets for this country.
We do get the scene where he jumps on the helicopter.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool.
So there's there's a helicopter, so somebody's got to hang on from that landing thing that it lands
on. If you're not hanging off that helicopter, you better be jump-kneeing a dude off the helicopter, like in The Protector.
Yeah, obviously. Jumping off.
Oh, it was The Protector, right? Not Ong Bak 2? I think it was The Protector.
I think it was The Protector.
Yeah, that's a pretty dope scene. If you have not seen The Protector, Tony Jaa jump-kneees a dude, like, off the top of a fucking roof who is on a helicopter.
Yeah.
It's...
After
gorgeous.
Jump-kneeing 45 other dudes in that movie, Like,
God, what a movie.
That martial art is all, dude, like elbows knees and elbows. Knees. Knees, yeah, and elbows, man.
Well, I mean, it's the 8 points, but yeah, knees and elbows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they, like, and he, that's why he jumped knees that fucking dude.
Yeah, it's fucking great, dude.
Yeah. He does not do that in this. He just hangs on to for dear life.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously, they do some green screen stuff. Although the first, when he first jumps on, that's totally Harrison Ford.
Oh yeah. He's Tom Cruisian.
Yeah. A little bit. I mean, now at that point they're like, you know, a foot off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just putting the camera way low.
Yeah. Yeah. And then later it's, you know, green screen, but still Harrison Ford on a helicopter. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Still pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Obviously, like, we can't end it on that scene because it's not as good as the other scene. Right.
Right. Well, I mean, you still have to have the fallout of the political ramifications.
Which is just as
thrilling.
Thrilling, yeah, and nail-biting, sure, as this scene.
Yeah, edgier seat thriller.
Yeah, which is a guy telling him that he's going to take the fall.
Right.
And then him yelling at an old man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now that old man
is the president.
Is president of the United States of America.
And then he says the most badass line. All right, so... This is, all right, this tells you about this movie and how badass this movie is. The most badass line in this movie.
So the president tells him, you're not going to tell Congress. What you're going to do is you're going to hold on to this secret. And then when you need a favor, you're going to come to me and I'm going to give you that favor. It's what we call the Capitol or the Washington two-step or something.
Yeah, the Washington two-step. But it's also like, you're also going to take James Earl Jones on with you. You're going to ruin his reputation.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that. Yeah, we call it the Washington two-step. And then he says, you know, nobody puts baby in the corner. Goddamn. There. He says, I don't dance, Mr. President. Which is...
Although, if they would have been like, I don't dance, Mr. President, and then it cuts to fucking Patrick Swayze holding his arms out.
Yeah, and then he, like, jumps
in. And then
on
he
him.
Jumps in. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then the song is playing and shit. Time of Our Lives.
Had the time of our lives.
Then I would have been like, hell yeah. But no, it culminates with, I don't dance, Mr. President. And it's funny because, you know, I've told a couple of people that I was watching this movie and they're like, oh yeah, like that fucking badass line. I don't dance, like the line. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's not that badass. Like, he just says that. Yeah,
it's pretty badass.
That's again. Well, I mean, this one at least makes sense. Nobody puts baby in the corner makes no sense.
No sense.
No. This one makes sense. What he's saying is just like, I'm not going to take the fall for you. I'm going to be truthful to...
Well, and he's just saying, like, I don't play these fucking games.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a true blue American. I don't...
Also, up until this point, the president, not a bad guy.
Yeah. Up until this point, you get one scene earlier where the judge from Ghostbusters is there telling about how ghosts are not real.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know. I saw those Ghostbusters on television. It seemed pretty real to me. And he's like, no, ghosts are totally not real. And then he's like, so there's a situation I'm going to make disappear. And the president's like, yeah, you should probably do that.
Yeah. He's like, all right. Anyway,
make that disappear like the ghosts that we covered up between Ghostbusters 1 and 2, where all of a sudden nobody in New York believes in ghosts.
No one remembers
even
ghosts.
Though there was a huge ghost outbreak.
There was a fucking marshmallow man.
Yeah. Marching
down. That we were all covered in. And that, by part two, they're like,
Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Get the hell out of here, Ghostbusters. Come on.
Come on. And now in Ghostbusters 3, it's clear. It's Ghostbusters 3, right?
Yeah.
It's clear that they're also going with nobody believes in
ghosts.
Nobody remembers
a ghost.
Yeah.
I like that the kids
are ridiculous.
My dad says you guys were a hoax. And then they should have been like, I don't know if you can look back to news footage from fucking a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Where there was, do you remember all that footage of the fucking Statue of Liberty walking down Main Street?
Yeah. Do you remember that shit?
Yeah. You remember the giant marshmallow man that was fucking climbing skyscrapers?
Yeah, we covered the whole town with that shit. It took millions of dollars and a long time to clean up all that marshmallow fluff. But no,
I mean, I know
happen.
No one had cell phones, but I have to believe if every taxi in the city, which I have to believe every taxi in the city, was piloted by a skeleton ghost man,
yep,
somebody would have gotten a picture.
Yeah, even the Titanic came back.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Cheech Marin was like, better late than ever. But nope. Between the 5 years between the first Ghostbuster and the second Ghostbuster, everybody's like, ghost, get the fuck out of here, old man. That's not a real thing.
Also, are they really going with, in Ghostbusters Aftermath, which obviously isn't out yet, are they really going with, it's been, what, 30, 25 years? There's been no ghost activities for 25 years?
Makes me believe that the Ghostbusters are causing it, just like the judge said.
Dickless.
Yeah, what's his name said in the beginning, in the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's onto something.
Maybe all their
opening fucking gateways. Yep, yeah.
Bringing all this shit out. So, yeah. No Ghostbusters means no ghost.
It's just like, you know, playing D&D brings about fucking devils and Satans.
Yeah, or watching Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if you didn't do that.
If you watch some Harry Potter, Satan is there now.
Yeah, yeah, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
They would say, like, Expiriosis or whatever the fuck, and Satan stuff.
Exactly. When you say Leviosa, which I believe is just Latin for levitate.
Yeah, that's Satan stuff.
That's Satan stuff, for sure.
Anyway, that was the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Jack Ryan goes before the Senate.
He tells the truth, presumably. We don't actually see that part, so maybe he lies his ass off.
Wait, that'd be badass if he lies his ass off.
If the the credits roll, and then afterwards he's just like, deniable accountability.
I did not recall. They're like, sir,
I don't recall any of that.
Your signature is all over these papers. I don't recall any of that.
That doesn't look like my signature. I don't.
And if anything, James Earl Jones probably did that. He was known. He was a known forger.
Yeah,
he was known for doing these things.
Yeah, he look, you know, half the birthday cards to my mom, James Earl Jones. Yep.
If you gotta look at anybody for fault in this,
it's James probably Earl James Earl Jones.
They're like, all right, you're free to go and continue your career as a fucking lobbyist.
That's right.
And he's like, whew, that was a close one. Anyway, let's go have a lunch with Thora Birch and our kid.
And also Pfizer.
Yeah. Pfizer. Yeah. Who I now work for and make millions
so
of dollars.
Much money.
I mean, in a real world.
In a real world.
That's how it works.
But luckily, this is a movie.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the end of the movie.
That is the end of this movie. And not the end of the podcast, though, because we still have to make this movie better.
Yeah, we have to fix this movie. Other than him dealing with Han Solo.
Other than him dealing with 100 versions of himself.
Oh, right.
Or him diving into Quest World,
yeah, which is very good.
It's very good.
Him bringing Woody to James Earl Jones.
Right.
At the end of his life. Yeah.
What if he's just a real cokehead?
Yeah.
Just like hard cokehead.
You know, I think that they fixed this movie already in the late 90s by making it Steven Seagal shooting dudes in the face. Every movie from 95 on.
Yeah, you're right.
Steven Seagal or Schwarzenegger or fucking Stallone or Van Damme, like just being in the same political environment, but where they shoot everybody in the face.
Yeah.
Or even, you know,
what about Romancing the Stone? Lethal Weapon, yeah.
Yeah. Romancing the Stone. Whoa, does he have like a, is he like in the Colombia now?
Yeah, he was in, I mean, I guess he doesn't shoot dudes in the face, but he is in Colombia dealing with Colombian drug lords.
Yeah. You know, like Bruce Willis, like everybody kind of.
Actually, it's fucking Crocodile Dundee 2. Where they go to Australia, but then he's still fighting Colombian drug lords in Australia.
With his big knife.
With his big knife, yeah.
Knife, yeah. Yeah, I think, but then at that point, we're just going to end up back in the fucking Mad Max times. We start going to Australia.
We always
end up with Harrison Ford in Mad Max times, I guess.
What about, can we bring Three Amigos into this somehow?
All right.
We send the Three Amigos to Colombia to deal with the Colombian drug lords in their wacky hijink style?
Yeah, like they hire them to take care of the like. Do they
like
do,
they, no, they hear about their great work down in Mexico?
Now, do the cartel guys hire them to take care of the American soldiers, or do the American soldiers hire them to take care of the cartels, or is it a small village?
Ooh, you give me so many options.
I know.
Ooh, that is tough.
Because there's no small village in this. We get that birthday party that they blow up.
Oh, maybe they get hired by the parents of those kids to entertain them at the birthday party
gets blown up.
But then they survive the bomb, obviously, the Three Amigos.
Clearly, the Three Amigos.
And then they get involved in wacky hijinks. They come across the American soldiers and...
Hilarity ensues?
Hilarity ensues, yeah.
All right. Pretty and Harrison Ford is in there and they're like making a lot of jokes around him.
Yeah.
Can there still be a scene where they shoot a vase in a, it's like a vase in a fucking cantina, but it's a chicken in it?
Yes.
Because I don't know if you remember that. Go back and watch Three Amigos. That's a great fucking scene. They're just shooting out and they shoot a fucking clay like vase and there's a chicken in it. I don't even know how they did that.
That's wild. Yeah.
How they did that bit. That's a great special effects.
It is good.
To have a chicken inside of an exploding vase. Like, that's pretty good. Yeah, no, I think if we do the Three Amigos, but then is Harrison Ford still... He's like the guy dealing with them, right? So it's like the, you know how
is he the straight man?
You get a straight
wackies?
Guy with the Three Stooges.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he's just like, ah. Or you we'll put Cary Grant in there sometimes or some shit like that. You know, you got to deal with the idiots.
What if instead of that, so Jack Ryan, by this point, it's three movies in.
Right.
Jack Ryan's a fucking, he's a thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Best-selling books, fucking big movies. Jack Ryan is an established person that we know. What do we do with established persons we know? We team them up with other people. I'm saying
wacky.
It's Jack Ryan and the Globetrotters meet the mummy fighting cartels.
Clearly, that's how it should go.
Yeah.
Because first of all, we get to have the song playing all the time, which is great.
Yes.
It's that whistling song. And then also, every situation. Also, we had a situation where the cartel guys are playing basketball in this already.
That's true.
So that's set up.
That's already set up. Those yeah. cartel guys, but think about how many times the cartel guys could pull a gun and then somebody does a behind the back pass and
fuck
knocks
yeah.
that gun right upside
right
down.
With the fucking, but they still can't catch the basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or he does a thing where he's going to throw it, but he doesn't throw it.
Oh, he grabs the gun and then, yeah, he does a bunch of tricks where he's like
he's
throwing
it
and grabbing it
and
spinning it around.
And then
the guy keeps trying to grab it and he just like tosses it to his teammate.
He throws the gun and it goes through the basket and they count it as a point. It's not even the basketball.
No, but it still counts.
But it counts as a point, these Globetrotters,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Breaking all the rules.
Yeah, breaking all the rules all the fucking time. And then, you know, the mummy's there too. Why not?
Yeah. And I mean,
he rebels at some point.
Is he good at dribbling? No. But
no.
Again, he does unravel, or maybe they unravel him and he does like a, what is 360 times a million dunk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the, or he's like just, like the Goss.
Yes.
He's just like the
Raptor.
Oh, and
there's
now.
Nothing.
So he's now he can do whatever he wants. He's like a Plastic Man type of deal, but he's like just Goss.
Oh, okay.
Just
so he can stretch. And,
yeah, he can stretch.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
like a snake guy.
He's a regular Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. He's like
yeah,
Mr.
Yeah.
Fantastic. He can get into crevices and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, or like wrap around the president and control him.
Oh, if you do that, I feel like, I mean, there's a lot.
Did the mummy ever have that power?
I don't believe so.
Well,
but
he does now.
If he did, I mean, we were talking earlier about horror porn.
Yeah, we were talking about horror
if
porn.
If you're doing a mummy that can control all of his wrappings, that leads to a lot of S&M opportunities.
Yeah, a lot of good horror porn. Yeah, that's
yeah.
right. A lot of tying up.
A lot of tying up.
A lot of mummy going into places you don't want it to
you
go.
You don't
want to
go, but
yeah.
it's going.
Or you very much want it to.
Or you say you don't want,
but
you really want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're really into it. You're
yeah.
really into that that
it's
weird
a, it's a lot
rap.
Of no, no, yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
All right, all right. I do like the idea of Jack Ryan at the end. He's like, I don't dance. Also, my friend does. And then, like, the mummy wraps around the president. And then, like, they're talking to the president on the news. And he's like, yes, president, me. And they're like, cryptic words from the president about the economy.
Yeah.
And it's but clearly it's, just a mummy.
Yeah. his new foreign policy with Russia is getting great reviews from all the
yeah.
all the political pundits.
His political connections to Egypt now.
Yeah.
building a new trade with Egypt to bring all the mummies over.
That's right.
Is getting great critical reviews.
Redesign of the White House into a pyramid shape. Seems to be going over well with certain population.
A little bit of concern with how many fucking cats are in the White House. And how he seems to worship them.
Yeah.
But still. Overall, though, a good showing from the president today.
Yeah.
Me, mummy, not mummy, president. All right.
What do you think he meant by that, Jack? Well, I think he was saying he's not the mother of the country. He's more like a father
yeah.
figure. I think that's what he's really saying.
Man.
Yeah. He's saying that we don't need a mother. We need to stand on our own two feet. He's a real like man's man, you know?
He's a real leader this
yeah,
time.
He's a real leader.
Uniting the country.
Yeah. I think both left and right can agree that he is not our mother.
Yeah.
So
His new slogan, Me Mummy, is taking a nationwide storm. Two more re-elections, please.
I think we need to reverse some of the amendments. Let him, like, go longer. Let him be president for life. Yeah, let him go longer than the 8 years.
Yeah, little do we know, for a mummy, it's thousands of years.
Thousands of years. And that's how the American-Egyptian dynasty happens. Yeah,
exactly. Until one Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, finally put an end to it. Time-traveling Abbott and Costello.
I think we fixed this movie.
It's somewhere along there. We must have.
Yeah, obviously.
So we'll be back next week. We're
With not a Jack Ryan movie.
We're finally breaking the cycle of violence.
Yep.
With a Western comedy? Yeah. Billy Crystal?
Yeah.
Daniel Stern?
Actually, a very good Western comedy.
It's pretty good.
It is.
We're talking City Slickers. Jack Palance.
Jack Palance is fucking
one thing.
Great. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hunting old. No, that's the second one.
The Curly's Gold. Curly's Gold, yeah.
Is the second one.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one,
this is the first one.
They're trying to.
They're just trying to learn how to be men.
Yeah, trying to. Be, yeah, exactly. They're pussy fucking New Yorkin Jews trying to be men.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that next week. Please join us. Until then, make sure to check out the podcast everywhere. Subscribe, like, tell your friends. Check out the Patreon. Check out the Instagram. Check out the Facebook. Support W Book Art on Instagram. Thank you again for our theme song.
Yeah. Support Moto Sonora, who's supported us a couple times.
Yeah. Support Moto Sonora. That's it. That's it for now.
Until then.
I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Wishing you a good night. And a good journey.
We love it.